When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to What's Next. For those of you just tuning in, this is a podcast that Lara and myself put together in order to have really difficult conversations with a solution-based outlook. So we sit down with people of interest, whether that's experts in fields or well-known celebrities, and talk about topics that interest them. But today, we're going to switch it up a bit and do something a little bit different.
Today, we decided to turn the tables, I suppose, and speak about ourselves. And be more authentic and try and figure out what it is that we've experienced and the changes that we want to make and how our past experiences or traumas or maybe actually a certain point or a certain situation in our life has changed the way we are today. And for me, there are quite a few, I think for you as well, from what I know.
Yeah.
Would you be able to pinpoint one that has really significantly changed your life? Or do you think there's many situations in your life that have made your life different?
I think there are many, but I think there are some that have had more of a lasting impact than others. And I really like this topic today, talking about the moments that shape us, because I think so often we just think our opinions are just the way they are because, and we don't look at the impacts of our outside surroundings, of our circumstance, and all of those things that have shaped our opinions. The more we reflect, the more we can understand and then be open to
change, really.
To change.
Right?
Well, to change.
And
I
growth,
don't.
Yeah.
I think growth. I don't think it's always necessarily that, you know, those pivotal moments are bad. Sometimes they can be enlightening and sometimes they can have changed you in a good way. But I think by understanding them, you're more open to other people's perspective because you know that your opinions aren't innate and they aren't just there because they're right.
I always find it just interesting when you speak to someone, you get to know someone, whether it's an acquaintance or it's a new person that you meet or it is wherever it may be and what part changed them. I always find that really, really, if the interest is there and if it's not just a superficial relationship, but I always find that really interesting. I'm always curious to know how anyone got to where they are because I think by the time we meet and how, no matter on whatever level that may be, you must have gone through something, and everyone has.
Yeah, 100%. And I think sometimes people think these pivotal moments have to be huge.
No.
But they can be small and they can be good, they can be bad, they can be so many different things. But the point is they've contributed to the person that you are. So Lau, you are a person that I know very, very well, but I don't know everything about you. And I think these conversations are important, even between very close friends and people that know each other, to get a deeper level of understanding.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make you go first on this one.
Okay.
Bum, bum, bum. Right. So my first question is, what is your most momentous moment that rings true in your mind when you think of something that has had a lasting impact, not only maybe emotionally, but in the way you now act?
Oh my God. I don't think there is one. I mean, I think there are moments that I'm incredibly proud of. There is a time when I spoke about, in front of a lot of people, about my grandparents surviving the Holocaust. There are moments when I have achieved things that I never thought achievable, which is something as simple as learning how to type at a very quite late age in life. Those are things that are definitely pivotal for me. But I've also had some really, really dark times in my life. And I think there's one event that I would define as life-changing. There is definitely one, and that is quite a while ago. I was in my mid-20s and I was living in Los Angeles. And I was in a relationship with a wonderful man. He was in recovery at the time, which is, I mean, for those of you who don't know, he was in recovery from addiction. He was a former addict. And I'd known that when I met him. I didn't really know to what degree. He was a guitar player and a very well-respected guitar player as well. And we had actually a really beautiful relationship. It was very, you know, I was courted by him. And it was, yeah, it was wonderful. It was a really beautiful, deep connection. And I don't really know. I don't ever talk about it. So it's really hard to kind of find the words really to express what happened. But there was one night that changed my life, which is the night that he had relapsed. And I didn't really understand at the time all that much. I understood obviously what recovery was, and I understood what addiction is to some degree. I've never been in a situation where someone close to me had died from it. So that was...
So he died?
He died. He overdosed in my flat. I was not there. I was there with him just really up until it happened. And it's kind of a sliding doors moment. A friend of mine came over and she said, this is a really bad environment. You need to get out. I'm going to take you. And I thought, I'll just stay. I think I should look after him. And then I thought, no, I'll leave. And 2 hours later, he was dead. And even though I had nothing to do with it, obviously, how do you explain that to his parents? You know, how do you explain that to his friends? He was living with me. So it's hard for me to put it into words, because it was such a traumatic experience. And the fallout from it was so much more traumatic, because I then had to obviously go to the funeral to face his family and sort of to carry some of the guilt for his death, I suppose, because it did happen in my environment. Again, even if this isn't something I understood at the time or anything that I shared or took part of, I was still a part of it, because I was his girlfriend or, you know, life partner, as we call each other. So I went to the funeral. I was sort of treated at the funeral as kind of like, I think almost like an angel of death. That's how I would describe it. Already that in itself is sort of probably the darkest moment that I can imagine of my life that I've ever had. And so when he passed away, I feel like I lost everything. I had moved to Los Angeles, which was my dream. I had met the guy of my dreams. I had a wonderful full life and everything in front of me. And I was very young. I was in my 20s, and I thought nothing can go wrong. And then all of it was taken away within, you know, a rash decision of someone making in an hour or two or however long. And I was told, actually, at his funeral, maybe out of spite, or maybe, I don't know, I don't mean this in a bitter way, because I've made peace with all of it, but I was told that he had passed away knowingly that he was infected with HIV and hepatitis. So I then made a decision that only probably someone in their mid-20s would make, and that was that I would never get tested, and that I would never be with anyone else again, and then that I would probably pass away from the diseases, and that is my and that is the way my life was going to turn out. Obviously, I wouldn't make that decision today, and luckily I've never put myself in that position again, but I made that decision then, and I moved back home. I packed up everything. I moved back in with my mother, moved back to Germany, and spent the next year living with the knowledge that I kept to myself that I would not make it and that I didn't have much time left. And I really didn't do very much in that during that year. It was sort of just a year of darkness and depression because my partner died. I'd left the town I loved. Everything was gone. So I kind of spent a year in bed, I think, more or less. And on the 6th of May that year, I went to see my old doctor, my childhood doctor. I had to get a certificate from him for my insurance, just like a general checkup. And I said to him, he's the only person I ever actually confided in. I said to him, listen, I know you need to do a blood test, but don't test me for HIV or hepatitis, because I told him the story and I said, I already know I have it. And I don't want to know. So just don't test me. And he did, even though I asked him not to. And on May 10th, I went in to see him and he set me down. He said, look, I got your results back and I want to let you know that you are negative.
Whoa.
With everything.
What a relief.
And that is the day my life changed. On May 10th, my life. And literally every single year on May 10th, I just feel like it's not my birthday. My birthday is April 7th, but May 10th is for me my birthday because that's the moment I decided to change my life. Have I made a lot of mistakes since then and done silly things? 100%. But it profoundly changed me and it gave me a second lease on life. And I thought I will never, ever, ever do anything to jeopardize my life again, ever.
So,
or someone else's for that matter.
I mean, in that story, there's so many different moments and levels to it. You know, the despair of losing everything, the living in fear, all of these different things. What do you think has had a lasting effect in your outlook on life, in your interactions with other people, or just kind of you as a person today?
I think the first thing that I needed to do was to forgive myself and understand and to forgive everyone else and to find a place of peace. And I think whenever I am in a situation that is difficult, I now think back of how lucky I am. So I think that is the most profound change that has happened, because once you've seen or experienced that darkness, for me, you know, everyone has their own story. I knew I made it back from that. And I think that's probably the biggest change that has happened. And
also, is that a perspective moment for you then? Like,
yeah, it's perspective, but it's also emotional because... Mm.
Yeah.
Because people have to heal, you know? And I think even now, you know, I well up because I've come so far since then, and I don't mean this in a you know, ooh, I'm so grand, I've come so far. I've come far in terms of being able to view the situation with nothing but love and peacefulness, and hoping that he's in a better place, and so are his parents, because no parent should ever have to bury their child ever for anything.
Yeah.
You know, no friend should have to lose their friend. This is a horrific disease, and you know, this is definitely a topic for another show that we will have. But I've come to understand that life ebbs and flows and things change and things happen, but you are the master of your feelings, I think, in the end.
Do you think that you went through a self-blaming period, or...
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think I'm like that anyway. As a person, I very often like to people please and like to... You know that. Yeah. I say sorry a lot.
I have to say, I do know this.
I do say sorry a lot. I don't have a problem with it. People seem to have a problem with it sometimes. So you don't have to apologize all the time. But I think that's just the nature of who I am. It's always genuine. It's never put on. But yeah, I think, sorry, what was your question?
Yeah, I was just asking if you went through a period of self-blaming. I know that a lot of people did.
I mean, of course I did. A million times you go through what you could have done differently with the signs that obviously you do that. But I think ultimately the decision was not mine.
Yeah.
And ultimately this is a really, really, really deadly disease that he just succumbed to. And that the aftermath of what happens after you as an addict don't consider.
Yeah.
Because nothing really matters to you. It's the same, I think, for anyone that commits suicide or that, you know, the things you leave behind, the people you care. I mean, we were lucky to have Matt Haig on our show, who wrote the book Reasons to Stay Alive. And that's something I think about a lot. I love Matt anyway, but I think it's the mess you leave behind when you make that choice, you know.
I think sometimes we forget how intertwined our lives are with so many of the surrounding people around us. I'm not just talking about in a suicide or death situation.
Yeah.
In any situation, it's very easy to see, you know, life through our own lens and forget how every single one of our actions intertwines and affects other people.
Completely. Yeah. And I think at the same time, yes, I've taken responsibility for my part. I've forgiven myself. I've also learned that sometimes in life there you cannot control everything. You just gotta let go, I think. And turn it over at times.
I think that's a nice lesson. You cannot control everything other than your own actions.
Yeah, and just be a better person, I believe. And it's nice to actually I'm glad we talked about this today, even though
It's a lot.
Always really has. I've never shared it before, and I don't really ever speak about it. I never share the story. I haven't spoken about it in years, I think. I'm glad I did today. I hope it helped someone.
Thank you for sharing with us, because that was hugely emotional, and I know it's very hard to be so raw and honest, especially on a public platform. So,
but I think we invite people to be raw and to be honest, and I think it's only fair that we maybe turn the tables on us.
Yes, I completely agree.
I know you've been through ups and downs. I know you've traveled a lot. I know you've lived a very full life for being a very young adult. And I wonder if there's a pivotal moment in your life that you would say has changed your outlook on life or your trust in people, your belief in people or in yourself. Or is there anything that comes to mind right now that you would say? And it doesn't have to be a dog. It doesn't have to, you know what I mean?
Of course.
There's no need for
it to be. Yeah, there's a couple of things. I mean, I do have one kind of pivotal time in my life. And I want to preface it with the other parts that have very much shaped who I am is travel and living in other countries. I think before I moved around so much and went into cultures and countries that I didn't know about, I think I was quite small-minded about what is the right way of life and successful life and happy life. And the more I have traveled and the more I've seen has opened my eyes to there are so many different ways of living, and my happy is not someone else's happy and my success is not someone else's success. So that is something that I try to bring along with me kind of everywhere I go and whatever scenario I'm in. I think, like you, gosh, all the really tumultuous ones are a relationship. I mean, mine.
Why is that, boys?
You know, boys and girls, actually.
And girls,
true.
Girls have also broken my heart.
I think these are the times where we leave ourselves most vulnerable, and so you know, when you really open up to someone, it does leave you open in every sense of the word, and you know, you are there to feel the highs and lows at their extremes. I had a really terrible relationship in my early 20s. I mean, this person was just a piece of work, and he really flipped on how I viewed people, I guess, afterwards, because he was a very charming person, like most of them are, and just completely had a separate life, was very deceitful, and emotionally manipulative. And
did you know that at the time, or is this in hindsight?
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all. I have to say, at the beginning of the relationship, I did have a gut feeling, and I ignored it. And you know, how could I believe my gut feeling when, you know, he's saying all these things and doing all of these things and showing me a snippet of the person, of who he was. And I realized that people can really, really guide you in how you perceive them by showing you just a certain part of their life. And I think that I actively participated in it because, you know, once you... And I was in my early 20s, mind you. And
also interesting.
Yeah. And once you start getting into a relationship, you start... I had my rose-tinted glasses on. And I wanted to kind of believe everything, even when certain things weren't adding up. And I remember he went home to Australia with me, and my parents hated him. But not for anything other than they could just see that he was lying about so many different things. And I vividly remember I was trying to explain a situation to my parents of something that he told me. And I was like, no, but this and this and this. And when I was explaining it back, I'm like, oh, everything that he told me actually doesn't make sense. But when he said it, it made sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah. You just kind of become enamored by it. And it got to the situation where... my place got raided by cops.
Oh my God.
Yeah. To this day, I don't know what it was. I think he told me parking fines. He'd been arrested. Parking fines, of course. He'd been arrested. I mean, it was a whole big palaver, and he had an answer for everything. I eventually ended up having to go back home to Australia because it was just a shambles. And, you know, my parents were like, you know what, come home.
Isn't it funny how we end up going home? Yeah. How lucky we are, actually.
Yeah.
Fortunate to have parents alive and understanding that where you can just crawl home and basically...
You do. I think when it gets bad, you know, you
want your mom.
You want your mom. But yeah, so I went home and then it just gets worse.
Oh, no.
I was home a couple of months and my sister takes a screenshot of Facebook, and by this point I didn't follow him, and was like, does he who shall not be named does he have a kid? And I was like, what? Absolutely not. We had been living together for 2 years. He couldn't possibly have a kid. He had captioned this photo, "I never lied, you're just out of the loop, boo."
Wait, what?
Yeah, "I never lied, you're just out of the loop, boo." And here's the thing,
Was this directed towards?
Yeah, directed towards me. You know, and it was one of those situations that once we were done, it got really nasty and everything like that. And it's awful, but what was even more awful for me is that everybody knew, and everybody that we went on holiday with, and, you know, even the girls that we went on holiday with, and for me that, like...
Everybody knew.
Everybody knew.
Was this kid, was this child made when you were together, or...
From what I understand, it was the kid was born, I think, maybe 3 months into our relationship. So he had a woman pregnant
when we
started getting into the relationship.
Oh my God.
And didn't give me an active decision on whether this was what I wanted to be a part of, you know.
And you guys lived together as well.
And we did. And we lived together, and he just lied every single day that we were together, to the point where I'm like... I can't even believe if he went out for coffee or not. Just when someone layers upon layers upon layers of lies.
But that's gaslighting, really, to shift your reality, right? Whether you're...
Everything, and you think you're going crazy,
right?
Because also there's always, even when in your mind you're like, okay, this isn't making sense, there's always an answer for everything, and then somehow it's your fault and all of these things. And I remember speaking to him afterwards, and he didn't even think he'd done anything wrong.
Did he admit to it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah. He admitted to it, but didn't think he'd done anything wrong. He was like, well, you told me you wouldn't date someone with a kid. I was like, oh, so you just didn't tell me? Okay, wonderful.
For real?
Yeah.
This actually, I mean, obviously what you went through is horrific, but this shocks me.
With
regards to humanity.
I know, and now I can look back and like, I have to laugh at the situation and I'm just like, what a piece of work and everything. But at the time, it was like my life was falling apart. I was like, and I'm actually happy that I found out about, you know, the kid and everything, maybe a couple of months after we'd split up, because I had had enough time and space to regain my stance on reality. So it wasn't as traumatic for me as if I had found out at the time. I would have just had a full breakdown.
Well, this is what I kind of wanted to know. A lot of people go through breakups, go through a heartbreak.
Mm.
How long did it take you and how did you recover?
Do you know what? It took me very quickly because I realized I didn't love the person that he was. I felt entrapped in a situation.
So you were able to view that.
Yeah. So to be honest, I felt a relief, you know, when it had broken up. But yes. I was still, I guess, slightly humiliated and
We both know there's no reason to,
But it is humiliating on a level, being the last person to know about any situation. And I think it did shape how I enter into any type of new person situation. I'm more inquisitive now. I don't think I'm not bitter. I don't ever try and come at something with that, you know, people will have that extent of deception and that sort of stuff. I think that was really a one-off case.
Are you still in contact?
Oh, gosh, no.
No.
Oh, gosh, no.
Are you in contact with his friends at all?
No. That was just a clean cut. I mean, there was a little bit afterwards of back and forth just because of actually situations we were still tied up in and everything that. So, I mean, it was quite messy, but in terms of wanting that person to still be a part of my life, I just felt like a really bad energy had left, you know, that you don't realize is riding you, and you don't realize that you're making space for and making excuses for something that is actually harmful to you, you know?
Completely.
But yeah, that was a huge learning. I feel like that was very much a growing up lesson in my life.
Yeah, where would you say, so for someone listening to this thinking, okay, I've listened to these two ladies and you know, these are very different stories, but both have shaped us. From your point of view, what advice would you give your younger self at the time? What would you have done differently? Or what advice would you give your younger self probably at the time? Would it be to listen to your gut or, you know, that kind of thing?
I think, of course, yes, listen to my gut, but I think also just to ask more questions about a situation. Mm. Like I was very much, you told me something, okay. And I actively participated in ignorance and on some level, because I think something in me knew things weren't adding up and I didn't want them not to add up.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that if there are questions that you have, asked them, because, you know, there's no harm. There should be no harm to another person by asking a question. If someone's getting angry at you for asking a question or making you feel like you're a terrible person for wanting to understand the entirety of a situation, it is for a far more sinister reason than they just don't feel like talking.
Yes.
Or then you're just nagging or it's annoying you or something. And you should never blame yourself for wanting honesty.
Yeah.
What about you?
I was just starting to think about what my answer would be in the last 2 seconds, because I really don't think there's any advice I could give myself, because I think when something like that happens to you, what I did essentially was what I probably, thank God I'm not in that situation today, but obviously dating someone that is that is very ill is one thing that you think about, but you, that's not something that would hold me back today. But I do think I did the right thing in terms of dealing with the downfall and the depression and the aftermath.
Would you maybe research the illness or addiction?
I probably would do that. I probably would be better informed about that. And I probably also would have gotten tested immediately.
Yeah.
Definitely wouldn't have that sort of Damocles, is it Damocles, hanging over me for all these, for a whole year or more, over a year and a half. I probably would have not. I definitely wouldn't have done that. I know now anyways that you can have a great life living with HIV, because I have friends that have been infected. So, and I want to, that's something that I do want to say, because lately actually there's been a lot in the press about that, and I'm sure we're not going to go into details, but you can have a wonderful full life with that. And I'm lucky that I'm not having to do that, but I think I should have had the guts to just get tested. So I would always, that's probably the biggest difference that I would do. But other than that, I think mourning someone and allowing yourself to mourn however long it takes, and you know, grief is a weird one. Grief is a tricky situation, because it hits you at times when you least expect it, and it hits you in different moments. And I think allowing myself and having generous enough parents to allow myself to allow me to just be made the difference. So, what have I learned from it?
Everything
and nothing.
Everything.
To appreciate life, you know, to appreciate every day, to find beauty in, as Anne Frank said, in everything, and just to appreciate being alive, being healthy, being happy, and not to dwell on the dark things all that much.
And don't sweat the small stuff, you know.
Don't sweat the small stuff so much.
I also, like, for me, one of the big, like, lessons was this too shall pass. I think when I was, reflecting, it wasn't the end of the world, but in my mind, when things were the end of the world, and I was like...
Well, it kind of is the end of the world if it's all your friends, and if it's, you know, if it's people that you travel with and that you hang out with. These things can be the end of the world for someone for someone young and impressionable. And I think when you're in your early 20s, they pass. This too shall pass.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I think this is all the time we have. I want to say a huge thank you, first of all, to everyone who listens to this podcast, because we started this in lockdown. And here we are a year later, and the world is still a little crazy. Things are still up and down. And I just want to say, a massive thank you to all the listeners and to every guest that has come on, and to our future guests. We have some really great guests booked in, and I'm very excited to do this podcast with you. And thank you, Laura.
Well, thank you so much for sharing today, Lau. That was, I know that was incredibly difficult. So I just want to show my appreciation. I also want to say to all of our listeners, if you would like to share with us, we'd love to hear maybe moments that have shaped you and what you've learned from certain situations. You can tweet me at DJ Laura Fraser, or tweet Laura at Laura Podelska. And we will be back with another What's Next.
See you soon.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.